From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. We'll have open lines for you this hour. I'll give you the numbers in just a moment. Next hour, very important subject, your health, and other plans to do away with vitamins and supplements. We'll have a roundtable discussion about that, and this is going to be a big story. Here's some of the news of the day. Well, NASA engineers are attempting to root out the cause of a sensor glitch that scrubbed Wednesday's launch of the Space Shuttle Discovery. Pad engineers drained Discovery's fuel-filled external tank of its super-chilled liquid propellant late Wednesday after a sensor sent errant signals to flight controllers during a countdown check. Now, Discovery's launch was slated for 3:50:53 Eastern Daylight Time, now delayed until Saturday, July 16th, at 2:40 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at the earliest. Now, that's probably the very best-case scenario. Richard C. Hoagland, of course, from EnterpriseMission.com, has been doing some checking for us, and he says that if this launch doesn't occur within the next few days, it's very possible that it will be delayed until September. That's what he's beginning to hear with his sources. You know, and there's just a bad feeling about this. We had this problem today, and then yesterday, of course, a window fell and it hit some tiles, and they had to replace those tiles as well, cracking some of those tiles. So it's a very strange circumstance. I got this email from Reg in Orlando. I want to share that with you for a moment. It says, George, from the minute NASA announced last week that it intended to launch the shuttle, I was convinced that the launch would not happen today. I have believed, and I've said it every time, that I heard a news program mentioning the scheduled launch, and I've said to myself, it's not going to happen. I had no reason to feel that way. I just knew. Today, around 1 o'clock, about 3 hours before launch, this is his time, when I saw on television the astronauts in the shuttle and heard everyone say that the launch was scrubbed, I felt profound, a relief. I was really puzzled, but for some reason, I felt good today that it was scrubbed. Now, if it happens on Saturday or Monday, I do not feel anything weird. Are you or anybody else picking up any of these feelings? Tropical Storm Emily has arrived in the Windward Islands at the edge of the Caribbean. Residents of coastal Venezuela, by the way, have been warned to prepare for the storm's wind and rain on Thursday. On its current trajectory, Emily does not appear to pose a threat to the United States. However, such projections often change because of the unpredictable nature of hurricane movements. Emily right now is just shy of hurricane strength, but she could pick up speed. Hurricane season began June 1st, and it normally ends on November 30th. But who knows with the way these weather patterns continue to change. In Iraq, sad story, a car bomber sped up to American soldiers distributing candy to children and detonated his explosives, killing up to 27 other people, including himself. One U.S. soldier died. About a dozen children were among the dead. At least 70 others, including three U.S. soldiers, were injured in the attack. American soldiers giving candy to children, and a car bomber has to go and do that. In England, police pursued what they thought is a suspect who's the mastermind now behind London's terror attacks, raiding a home on Wednesday, widening their search to a new area. The top law enforcement officials have suggested the bombers were foot soldiers intent on causing mayhem. Wednesday night's raid, some 40 miles northwest of London and near the city of Oxford, resulted in no arrests there, but police were searching the house. Details emerged about the lives of the suspected bombers, one of whom was only 19 years old. Authorities suspected the four attackers, including at least three Britons, of being Pakistani descent. They didn't work alone, and that their collaborators or leaders are likely still at large. Maybe they have already left Britain, they think. Maybe they've gone back to Pakistan. 52 people dead at this point, 700 others injured. You know, during 9/11, and as you know, I don't believe in coincidences, but in what the government described as a bizarre coincidence, the CIA was planning an exercise on 9/11 in which an errant aircraft crashed into one of its buildings, But they say it wasn't the cause was terrorism. They were trying to simulate some kind of accident. Now, that was during 9/11. Bizarre all by itself, isn't it? Listen to this. Now, what are the odds of this happening? A consultancy agency with government and police connections apparently was running an exercise for an unnamed company that revolved around the London Underground being bombed at the exact same times and locations as happened in real life on the morning of July 7th. On a BBC Radio 5 interview that aired on the evening of the 7th, the host interviewed a fellow by the name of Peter Power, managing director of Visor Consultants, which bills itself as a crisis management advice company. Peter Power was a former Scotland Yard official working at one time with the anti-terrorist branch. He told the host that at the exact same time that the London bombings were taking place, his company was running a 1,000-person-strong exercise which drilled the London Underground being bombed at the exact same locations at the exact same times as it happened in real life. Now, is that a coincidence? This is a strange story. Thanks to Alex Jones and his Infowars.com, I want you to hear a portion of that interview that was done on the BBC Radio 5. Again, the interview is with Peter Power, managing director of Visor Consultants, particularly pay attention towards the end of this short interview.
It's Dr. Peter Power, a former senior officer from Scotland Yard, now managing director of Visor Consultants, that company which really deals in management of crises. Peter, I mean, what can we do as a city? What can we do as a people? How are we supposed to behave in future? You can't stop these kind of things, can you?
Well, you can reduce the amount of opportunity. Really, we should be thinking about taking some reasonable steps against unreasonable people. I have to say that what Mike Granite said there about being a wake-up call, I'm sorry I don't agree with that. We've had wake-up calls. This is another wake-up call. Something's wrong. The alarm's been ringing for many years. People have been saying, get ready for this, it's going to happen, from the Prime Minister downwards. The other thing we should be thinking about is really looking at what you were just talking about. What should we be doing? Certainly when I was at Scotland Yard, and it wasn't all that long ago, we were having events like this probably every week at the height of the IRA campaign. Big difference then, of course, mostly, not always, we had enough warning. Mm. Although that was a little bit circumspect in some cases. But now we're dealing with people who simply want to have mass casualties. They want no dialogue, no warning. They don't want an agenda and so on. Things are a little bit different.
Well, indeed. And that's why it's so difficult. So what do we do? You can't, I mean, some people just say, look, the best thing to do is just carry on as you were, because you can't let bombers subjugate you. You can't allow your life to be destroyed by them. I mean, how do you effectively provide security on an underground system?
Well, you're quite right. Security at very best is proportionate. It'll never, ever be absolute. The thing that concerns me is that what are we doing for the thousands of men and women, actually, who are in London working? And I say that because at 9:30 this morning, we were actually running an exercise over a company of 1,000 people in London based on simultaneous bombs going off precisely at the railway stations that happened this morning. So I still have the hairs on the back of my neck standing upright.
So you get this quite straight. You were running an exercise to see how you would cope with this, and it happened while you were running the exercise.
Precisely. And it was about 9:30 this morning. We planned this for a company, and for obvious reasons, I don't want to reveal their name, but they're listening, they'll know it. And we had a room for the crisis managers for the first time they met. And so within 5 minutes, we made a pretty rapid decision. This is the real one. And so we went through the correct drills of activating crisis management procedures to jump from slow time to quick time thinking. Yeah. And so
I mean, isn't that strange? I mean, this is an absolutely incredible story. I'm beginning to wonder, with this exercise that was going on, whether these bombers may have been part of the exercise and something went awry. Maybe it was intentional. I don't know, but it sure makes you wonder. As a matter of fact, Peter Power, after this was aired, had just an onslaught of emails. So he sends out this message. I'm going to read a portion of it to you. It says, given the volume of emails after the events on 7 July and a commonly expressed misguided belief that our exercise revealed a prescient behavior or was somehow a conspiracy, noting that several websites interpreted our work that day in an inaccurate, naive, ignorant, hostile manner, it has been decided to issue a single email response as follows. So he goes on. Now let me read this portion. It says, It is confirmed that a short number of walkthrough scenarios planned well in advance had commenced that morning for a private company in London as part of a wider project that remains confidential, and that two scenarios related directly to terrorist bombs at the same time as the ones that actually detonated were such tragic events. One scenario in particular was very similar to real-time events. I'm just telling you, it's just very strange. In Idaho, a 10-year-old boy died after hanging himself from a tree, apparently the second Idaho youth killed while playing a choking game. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office says that the 10-year-old apparently was playing a game known as the pass-out game, trying to cut off the oxygen supply to his brain to achieve some type of a high. The boy's mother reported him missing last Thursday night when he failed to return home after visiting a friend. Search and rescue crews found his body hanging from a tree. He was found with the rope looped around his neck. No sign of a struggle. No physical evidence to indicate anyone else had been at the scene. Kids, don't try this. In Connecticut, an expert in eating disorders collapsed in a supermarket after inhaling propellant from whipped cream cans. Lisa Berzins, a prominent psychologist who's been on national and television radio shows and in newspaper articles, was arrested. She's 49 years old, and apparently she picked up three cans of whipped cream containing nitrous oxide, known as laughing gas, and then inhaled all of it in the store. What's going on with people? Film actor Brad Pitt released from a Los Angeles hospital today, where he had been admitted apparently for a flu-like illness that turned out to be viral meningitis. He's 41 years old. He is home now, resting after his discharge, and he's doing well, according to his publicist. The actor checked into the Cedars-Sinai Medical Center on Monday night, a week after returning from a trip to East Africa. By the way, Emily has now been upgraded to a hurricane. In Dallas, the body of a Louisiana man, the body now, strapped to a gurney, fell from the back of a pickup truck onto a South Dallas highway and into the path of oncoming traffic. Mary Ellen Douglas says, "I didn't think it was possible for that to happen. She was driving to work when she saw what she initially thought was the package that had fallen from the truck. I simply wanted to get out of there. It was too freaky for me." Authorities said the driver was carrying the body to a Shreveport, Louisiana funeral home after the man died Monday at a hospital. The driver of the truck was not aware that he had lost the body. And a king cobra snake has died after biting a Hindu priest in India. The snake bit the priest, and then the snake died. Well, the priest is now doing okay in a local hospital. So here are the numbers. We've got open lines for you this hour. When we come back, I'll read an email about my interview last night with Paul Williams, who talks about nukes in America. Also, I've got a very brief update for you on Prophet Yahweh, the fellow who's supposed to summon up UFOs west of the Rockies, 800-618-8255, east of the Rockies, 800-825-5033, first-time caller line, 818-501-4721, and the wild card line, that's open for you, at 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Now, Prophet Yahweh has a couple more days left to deliver. Friday night is his deadline, 11:59 p.m. Pacific time. I had producer Tom talk to him today, and the prophet contends that he's still excited, that something big is going to happen, and he thinks that very soon a spacecraft will sit in the sky over Las Vegas for a day and a half. But he's running out of time. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi there. Welcome. Sam Jays calling from the Midwest.
Well, whereabouts in the Midwest?
This is from St. Louis, Missouri.
Well, I know that place.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. What's
up? I just wanted to make a comment, Mr. Norrie, regarding that guest that you have had on, Aaron Donahue.
I had him, and Art had him, and we just had a replay of him. He is the Luciferian.
Right. My comment is, although it's wonderful that you had him on there, very interesting and everything, to see what the way some people might be thinking in these days, he really is serving no good purpose. His mind is poisoned with hate, and anybody that gets seduced by what he has to say will unfortunately meet the repercussions of the very strict law of cause and effect, which we all are.
Well, and I'm glad you feel that way. Now, remember, though, Coast to Coast is not a program of censorship.
Right.
So
no,
we try to give people the opportunity, you know, as long as the guy is not vulgar, profane, which he was not.
Sure.
He may have been perceived as evil, but he wasn't profane.
Well, I wouldn't call him evil, but I mean, you know, it's very interesting, and it reaffirms what he said, truly reaffirms the topsy-turvy way that people can look at the Bible. But still in all, I mean, he really was, it's nice that you had him on there, and I'm sure a lot of people appreciate it, but I hope anybody who's listening just understands that his mind is poisoned.
How do you feel about Benjamin Krem, who's been on the program a couple times ago?
I can't really comment. I really don't know enough to comment.
Okay. Well, he, according to some, he denies it, represents the Antichrist.
Oh, okay.
So based on that, do you think we should throw him off?
Well, I wouldn't say throw the guy off. I think people can use their best judgment, I would hope. But, I'm just taking this opportunity to reaffirm that anybody out there who might be slipping into the lower ways of thinking, I'm just calling out there to say, hey, wait a minute, don't be fooled, and, you know, snap out of it.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. Hello. Hello. Goodbye. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Boy, you got a buzz?
A little bit.
Yeah, that's okay. What's up?
Anyway, I was wondering if you had heard anything about this nuclear, I think it was a missile or something that might have been lost off of the coast, in somewhere in the Gulf Coast.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago, fell from a plane. And they've been searching for it. They cannot find it. They thought for a moment that they might have picked up something, a higher burst of radiation. And so they went down there and they sent divers and everything they could, but they could not find it. But it's down there somewhere. They say it is no hazard to us. But you know what? I expected them to say that.
Right. And, you know, you were talking about them guiding these hurricanes around, too. And that's, you know, kind of a bad area to be having these hurricanes.
Yeah, well, this thing, wherever it is, it's on the floor. And let's hope it just is deep under and it stays that way.
Yeah.
And now when I talked about you had a buzz, I meant the phone.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, take care. Next up, let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
My name's Stormy. I'm a truck driver. I'm driving across I-20 in Texas.
Hi, Stormy.
And how are you doing tonight?
Good.
What I would like to comment about is that, you know, you've had a number of shows, and I'm a long-time listener to Coast, and about shadow government.
Oh, yes.
And how that the sovereign Americans in this country could possibly expose them and dismantle the creature from Jekyll Island and reestablish a lot of money in their pockets while doing so.
Well, I'll tell you what, Stormy, I don't know right now if we can do that. I'll tell you why. I think those members of the shadow government, some of whom are most likely in government, control a lot of things. You know, the real heavy hitters behind this kind of organization, nobody knows really who they are. We can guess. You know, they're power brokers. They're the wealthy. They're the Illuminati. But they stay so isolated, so insulated, we can't get to them. You know, and then they send their little minions out to do their dirty work, and they do it. You know, they get some of their friends elected, sometimes not. But they're out there. Yep. And they're out there, and they're working on their behalf. And that's why when so many things happen across this planet that just don't seem normal, they just doesn't seem right, I'm convinced that these kinds of groups are part of it, are behind it. Because,
oh, I agree.
Yeah, instigating things, pushing things. I mean, I think they want us in turmoil all the time.
Well, my suggestion was that, you know, we're all the time talking about the advantages of diversifying your portfolio in gold. Well, let's see the American people draw their money out of the stock market and buy gold, physical gold. And when the stock market dwindles and you see inflation and the price of gold soars, the government is going to, and the shadow governments are going to try to control this, and they're going to instigate policies that are going to try to stop this trend.
Well, you may be right, and it may be happening already. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue this entire hour, and then we'll have our roundtable discussion about your health and what some want to do to take away vitamins and supplements, your ability to heal yourself. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. So I'm in St. Louis a couple weeks ago, and a fella comes up to me. His name is Jake the Snake. I kid you not. That's his nickname. He's a nice guy. And he gives me this CD, and he said, "Hey, George, would you think about this as a quick little bumper song just once on the program?" And I went, "Yeah, sure, Jake." So I took it, and I listened to it at home. And I tell you, this guy's good. His name's Mark Richman. And I told Tom, the producer, I says, "Why don't you tell Mark tonight I'm going to play it? And, you know, because I love New York, it's a great song, let's do it." And so we did, and there it is for you. Mark Richman, he's a great singer. He sings out of St. Louis. He's got his brand-new website up. It's called Mark Sings For You, for F-O-R, MarkSingsForYou.com. And there, did a favor for Jake the Snake and for Mark Richman, and there you go. And by the way, you did a nice job on that, Mark, and he's got a number of other songs on his CD as well. Speaking of CDs, Perfect Possession, Art Bell's interview with the late Father Malachi Martin. This is a scary CD, but it's a good one. Call 1-888-727-5505. You're going to get this CD for free when you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter. And when you eventually renew, well, they're going to tell you about it, and they'll send you a CD for free when you renew. 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online at coasttocoastam.com. Now, last night for a couple hours, we had investigative reporter Paul Williams on the program, and he talked about the very strong possibility of nukes already in this country brought in by Al-Qaeda. And a pretty scary couple hours, quite frankly. This email in from Lewis. It says, "George, I heard the show last night with Paul Williams, and I'd like to relate an incident that happened last night that should also scare the bejeebers out of all Americans. I drive a truck out of the Rio Grande Valley, and I have to go through the Border Patrol checkpoint nightly. The checkpoint on Highway 281 is roughly 70 miles from the border. It is not uncommon to see cars and pickup trucks hit the shoulder of the highway just before the checkpoint and drop off a load of illegals. They jump the fence, run into the woods, and walk around the checkpoint. They're picked up on the north side of the checkpoint. When I see this type of activity, I report it at the checkpoint, give them the mileage back to where the drop-off was made, type of vehicle, if I can tell them, and any other information that might be helpful. Last night, a pickup truck dropped what looked like 10 to 20 people off about 2 miles south of the checkpoint. All I could tell was that it was a white pickup truck. When I got to the checkpoint, I told the agent that a white pickup had made a drop 2 miles back. The agent looked at me and said, "Well, all I can say is that we're shorthanded right now. Thanks." This remark left me to believe that he didn't really care. How can we feel any type of security when our Border Patrol agents have this kind of attitude? Enjoy the show, Lewis. And you're right, Lewis. You are right. Let's go to the phones. West of the Rockies, welcome to the program. Where are you calling from?
Phoenix.
Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good,
I listen,
sir.
You know, KFYI, I'm in Phoenix.
Thanks.
Our governor had a summit meeting about illegal immigration.
Okay.
And the thing a lot of people are here kind of like flabbergasted about it was that it was a closed session meeting to only a number of hand of delegates or a demographic of law enforcement officials and all that stuff. As far as elected officials went, pretty much they were held out of the conference and all that.
It was I saw a news clip of that. They were trying to get in. They won't let them in.
Yeah, they had State Patrol out front door, just like the Alabama thing went, or actually the Mississippi deal went.
I always thought these things, you know, fell under these sunshine laws, and you had to keep them open to the public.
Yeah, you had to keep them open to the public. But for some odd reason, yesterday, it was held just for a certain practice of people in law enforcement and the political venue of society. So basically, I kind of looked at it like it was kind of a iffy situation. I'm looking at it now with the London situation.
You still with me? Your phone went, you know, I heard his phone beep the minute he first came on. Yeah, that was a strange story out there where they just refused to let legislators in and everything else. And it was, I mean, people were really upset. Wildcard line, it's your turn. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. I've been trying to get a hold of you for the last month, I guess. My name's Shannon. You had, you were talking about tornadoes, dreaming about tornadoes.
I haven't had a dream about them in a while, Shannon, but the ones that I did have, they were always in threes, the tornadoes were, and they were big ones.
Yeah, usually, most of the time, when I have those, something happens, whether it be real bad, real good, or something. The first time I had one, things started happening in my family I was actually sitting in my front seat and my son was in an accident. His head was busted open. It really means something's going to happen.
Okay, so it doesn't necessarily have to be weather related, right?
Right. Usually I dream either about tornadoes or snakes. Okay, snakes are not as bad as the tornadoes, but usually something devastating happens in my family. The last one I had just a couple of months ago, I lost my uncle.
I'm sorry to hear that. How soon does the tragedy occur after the dream?
It can happen within a month, 2 months. I've had these ever since I was a kid.
You know, I think people need to start having a journal or something like that and just catalog their dreams and then see if something happens and write it down. Thanks for the call. First time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, it's a pleasure. My name is Mark. I'm calling from New York.
Hey, Mark. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to call. I actually spoke to Prophet Yahweh tonight. He was on another radio show, Alan Combs.
Yeah.
And I asked him a question. Actually, it was pretty entertaining because Alan Combs was kind of going at him, and Prophet Yahweh kind of
went after him.
Yeah, went right back after him. It was thoroughly entertaining.
He's a tough cookie.
Oh, he sure is. But I had gotten through, and I'd asked him a question regarding the Nephilim.
Yeah.
And whether the beings that he speaks of that he summons, whether they were associated with the Nephilim.
And what is he? What did he say?
He said that he's still trying to figure that out. He says, I'm not really sure. He goes, that could be the answer. He goes, but, I've narrowed it down to about three possible answers. So he really didn't have a clear-cut answer.
Did he say anything about why he hasn't brought these UFOs up yet?
Yeah, Alan Combs, that was the first thing that that they nailed him on. And he said that the first time that the Las Vegas, I think it was ABC in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
the first time that
the
they
television
came down
station
in,
there.
Exactly, K-13 or something. The first time that they had visited him and they filmed it, he said that they aired it once and that they never came back again.
No, that's true. And I got to tell you, we have the video that they shot up on our coasttocoastam.com website. Pretty compelling. And the reporter on that video was in shock that you could see these objects floating around. Now, some people have said that good old Yahweh has some kind of hidden microphone. He calls his buddy who sets off a large weather-type balloon on cue, and that's what you're looking at. I don't know, but all I know is he's got a couple more days left because he said he was going to do this between June 1st and July 15th. It's almost July 15th.
It would be great to have him on the show.
Well, we've had updates with him. We've had updates with him, but for now, we'll just sit back and see what happens and watch the clock. And welcome back to Coast. We'll finish up with open lines right here by going to our East of the Rockies line. Where are you calling from?
Mr. Norrie.
Yes, it is.
Hello.
Where are you?
Spartanburg, South Carolina.
What's on your mind?
I'm calling from Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a comment to make. the last couple nights, you know, you've been talking in depth about the suitcase nukes.
Sure have.
The real possibility of what's happening in this country. I expected the local media to be very passive about any information that, like, you give us a lot of information, and I didn't really expect to hear anything here. But I just want to tell you something that they talked about tonight and were very passive about. One of the local farms in this area, somebody came in sometime today and stole a large load of pesticides and fertilizer. And it was, you know, no, tell everybody, no, not to worry, just be aware of it, and that you can make these gas bombs, I guess they called it, and they were just so passive, and I thought,
That seems to get some dropouts on that line. I don't know if it's your phone or not. We'll pick up our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing?
Good, sir.
I'm Eddie. I'm a first-time caller. I'm calling from Memphis, Tennessee.
Sure thing.
And I want to know what happened to the older guy and the younger guy you had on your show about 6 months ago. They were talking about the Anunnakis and Nibiru.
The older guy and the younger guy.
Yes, sir. I think they weren't from the U.S., but they were talking about Enki and the sons of Anu and all that.
Now, we've had, in the past, we've had Zechariah Sitchin on.
That's who I'm talking
okay,
about.
Okay, yeah. Zechariah lives in New York. He's in his 80s. He's been on Coast to Coast before. We had him on for about an hour several months ago. He's still hanging out there.
Okay. And y'all have a good show. I've been a fan of y'all's for about 3 years.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening. And, of course, what Zechariah believes is that there's an extra planet in our solar system and that they visited good old Mother Earth thousands and thousands of years ago. Let's go west of the Rockies. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, James in western Colorado.
Hello, James.
I was, when I was a little kid and they blew up the A-bombs in Nevada, we'd see it on television and everything. And how far do you suppose the fallout would go from let's say, Las Vegas or Los Angeles? Would it hit in Colorado?
It all depends on where the wind's blowing, John, but it could have gone across the country, all over the place. As a matter of fact, I think that they have done some testing, and I read this a couple of years ago. They've had high amounts of radiation in different areas. It's still around. No doubt.
Yeah, well, they killed a bunch of sheep in St. George, Utah, from those blasts in the 50s. Also, I'd like to hear Peter Davenport on there again.
Yeah, Peter is puts together his UFO reports for us, and he's about overdue, so I'll check in with him.
Thanks, George.
Okay, appreciate it. Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello.
Hi, George. This is Charlotte from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hi, Charlotte.
I was wanting to get in touch with you because you mentioned back in June on the air a lady called in about you, and we were talking about your birth chart. I wasn't, but she was. She was talking about your birth chart. And you mentioned a couple possible times.
Oh, yeah. It was 10:33 a.m. I went and checked.
Okay, 10:33 a.m.?
Yep.
Because I'm going to run the full chart with that, but I kind of approximated based on those
So,
times.
You know, if you're off by a few minutes, well, you know, what's that going to do?
Okay, well, one thing, it looks like you're going to have Leo rising.
What does that mean?
For your rising sign. Usually, individuals with Leo rising are usually either in a place of power or want to be in a place of power, which in your current position you certainly are, but you're using you're using that in a very, very constructive manner. Unlike, say, someone like, well, for example, let me use Bush. He has Leo rising, but sometimes I think his too much Leo that's going in his chart kind of makes him think he's there's more to him than what there really is. In other words, like delusions of grandeur.
Oh.
But in your case, you're using it in a very constructive manner.
Oh, that's good.
And you were talking also about when someone hit you in the back end of the car that one night.
Yeah, a few weeks ago.
Well, you weren't sure whether you created that or you
I think they were saboteurs.
Psychically picking it up. And I can tell you from what I've seen in your chart, you definitely are very psychic. You have Jupiter and Pisces. For one thing, and usually the water planets are the ones that show the
Why don't you email it to me? Give me some information.
Because we've got about 10 million people at home now going, I want to hear his reading. But do that. Appreciate it. Let's go to our wild card line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hello.
Hello, George.
Yeah.
Yeah, calling from Northwest Alabama. Andrew's my name.
Hello, Andrew.
Hello, George.
Hello, Andrew.
First thing I wanted to ask you about was, how about Hans Christian King?
How
about we get to hear him again?
Oh, yeah, he always comes on. He comes on about twice a year.
Okay, because I think he had to cancel one time the last time he was on, but I missed him.
I don't know if he canceled or not, but he was on, I think, around Christmas, somewhere around then.
Yeah,
great guy. He's on. He's on twice a year.
Yeah, the thing I called for tonight was regarding Mr. Williams or Dr. Williams.
Paul, last night's interview.
Right. And also, it's on that subject line, but also it ties in with some of your intuitive guests have said or prognosticated that they don't think President Bush will finish his term.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of, you know, the scenario that might create that sort of circumstance. And it's related to all this stuff that's going on. I'll just get to it. Look, I want to know what you think. If our borders are penetrated and it's found that a bomb has crossed them and our president, and this bomb does go off, God forbid, in one of our large cities or wherever, we get a mushroom cloud, et cetera, and it's a situation where our president has failed to protect us vis-a-vis our border patrols, policies, et cetera, do you think that'd be an impeachable offense?
No, I don't. I don't think a tragedy like that, that kind of an accident, would. Now, in terms of the ability or not to protect, tell me what one president has protected our borders.
Right. It seems like we've had pretty open borders throughout history.
Yeah, I mean, when you are a democracy, as this country is supposed to be, you don't assume that anything can go wrong, and that's been a mistake. You know, we should have had troops lined up along both ends of our borders all the way down. The problem is, this is a big country, and you can get in by the coasts. I mean, it happens. It happens, and you know, I don't think you can prevent these things from happening, quite frankly. You know, if you can get, you know, you may legally keep them from coming in by forcing them to have visas and passports and everything else, but they're still going to come in the other way. You know, the illegal way, they're going to make it. They're going to get through. Well, do we have time? West of the Rockies? Let's see if we can fit you in. Hi there.
Hi, George. I lived a number of years in the Middle East. I used to fly unmarked 707s in a number of their wars, flying 40,000 pounds of explosives in the middle of the night or 20 tons of machine guns. And the thinking that if you have the idea that if a terrorist had certain types of weapons, they would use them is flawed thinking.
Why is that?
They don't think that way.
So they're waiting for the big hit?
Well, they'll wait sometimes weeks or months or even years to set everything up, and they have the patience of Moses. The fact that something hasn't happened is on borrowed time. And I've been overseas many, many times in the last 2 years because there's so much news overseas that doesn't get here in the U.S.
What did you think? Did you hear our show last night?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of that?
I give it total credibility.
You do?
Because it fits with other things that I know. I used to fly for heads of state over there. I know how they think.
Well, I hope we're doing something about it. See, Paul Williams doesn't think we're doing anything about it.
You know, and I think he's right, because I'll tell you why. And it took me a lot of thinking and connecting with people I used to know over there for 30 years. And somebody wants something to happen over here.
Now, you may have hit it right on the head. And that you may be right in the middle of what this is all about. Somebody wants something to happen over here. There are motives. There are reasons for everything. Make no mistake about it. I'm going to be one of the first to always say that I think Al-Qaeda is part of what has been going on here in every nook and cranny. The big question is who's working with them? I'll be back in a moment. Our roundtable discussion is right around the corner. We're going to have John Hamill on for the first half hour by himself to talk about his experiences with this situation, about vitamins and supplements and what they're trying to do and are doing in Europe and what could happen here. I mean, you might not be able to go to the store and pick up what you want. It may be controlled by Big Brother, and that's what they want.